Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy. Today is Friday the 15th of March 2024. It's coming up on 1 p.m. As we record here. We being myself, Mike Hayrace, thank you for joining us, and Brianna McKay, our fine crew beat writer. Brianna, let's start with the latest news. First being Alex Matan, out of sight, out of mind for a little bit here. Big goal against Houston a couple 10 days ago or so in the first leg of CONCACAF Champions Cup, and injured, and we didn't know a lot about it, but you've made some inquiries.
Yeah, I was talking to Nancy yesterday.
That'd be Wilfried Nancy, the coach of your Columbus Crew.
Yeah, I like using a shorthand, but I asked him about it, and earlier during training camp, he was practicing on the side, Monton, and he had a quad issue, but he was able to play after that. And now it's a thigh issue with this injury. So I asked if this is kind of the same injury. It's been confirmed that these are two separate injuries. And this time, Nancy was saying it's not as bad as they thought it would be. But this time is kind of giving him both physical and mental rest. So I think they're kind of letting him take this time to reset.
As Patrick, the podfather Flaherty, will tell you, everyone needs mental rest. Patrick being primary among that class. Okay, next bit of news. The Telegraph of London is reporting that Arsenal has its eyes on the Crew's goalkeeper, Patrick Schulte, young Patrick Schulte, who had his first USMNT cap earlier this year. You know, it's funny. It was just a couple years ago, summer of 2022, that Matt Turner, the U.S. Mm-hmm. national team starting goalkeeper, was transferred from New England to Arsenal for, I think it was $6 million, and there were incentives in there. It could be more. And Turner was transferred last summer to Nottingham Forest for $10 million. So they made some money on that one. And Turner, again, was caught he was caught a little deeper on the roster than one might figure. David Raya has taken over the starting position at Arsenal, and the former starter, Aaron Ramsdale, has been linked to an Emirates transfer. So, Arsenal's looking for a goalkeeper, and the Telegraph reports that Schulte is a guy they have their eye on for a summer transfer. Mm-hmm. What is there? These things are difficult to mine any information on locally. Do we know anything else beyond the mere rumors?
No, the Crew has not commented on the Arsenal interest. There's been no comment from there yet. It's just honestly that report. And honestly, you can kind of see why there would be interest there. He's coming off a great playoffs and started pretty strong as well.
Well, the Telegraph said in their story that they've had their eye on Schulte since the Super Draft, mm-hmm. when he was drafted. He, of course, is another among a growing list of homegrown players that the Crew have developed. You know, and when it comes to rumors, we always wonder, and they've spoken about this freely, but Tim Bezbatchenko, the general manager, included that, you know, there are going to be teams coming after their guys. And you wonder, and he's mentioned Schulte specifically, mm-hmm. and Aiden Morris, and of course, Cucho Hernandez. And looking at the form he's in, you wonder when some Cucho rumors are going to start cropping up. He has, what, 3 goals in 5 games, all competitions, and
yeah,
he's played almost every minute.
It's half the goals that the Crew scored from him this season.
And he could have 10.
And yeah. And also, he's going into another level. He dyed his hair. It's now platinum. And who knows what platinum hair Cucho can do.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a big thing. He came out on Tuesday. He had dyed hair.
There's a bit more news that just came out today. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Brianna?
Yes. Aiden Morris and Patrick Schulte have also got called up to the March team, the U.S. 20, U-20 team, 3 team. And they're going to be playing the team, at least. They're going to be in friendlies against Guinea and France later in the month.
In Europe, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good on them. We as a country need some redemption in the Olympics.
I know, too, also something I talked about with Patrick at length in Santa Barbara was his interest and his goals of playing for the Olympic team. That's something definitely to keep an eye out for as that gets closer. But I know that's something he's dreamed of and he's very passionate about.
Paris, France.
Yeah.
I'd like to play in the Olympics in Paris, France. And another piece out that you had this week. There's a new coach for Crew 2. Mm-hmm. Of course, Laurent Courtois, who has took the Montreal job, the mm-hmm. former Crew 2 coach. Good on him. He has Montreal up there near the top of the standings, same number of points as the Crew, as a matter of fact. And his replacement has been named.
Yes.
Tell us about Kelvin Jones.
Kelvin Jones, he's been in the organization since 2017, and he's been academy director. He's also coached a little of their U-12. He started as a U-12 and then U-15 coach, and then he went to academy director in 2020, and then he went kind of back to coaching in 2023 with their USPL team. And it's interesting because you hear them say it all the time. They're like, oh, we're going to look internally before we look elsewhere, especially when it comes to players, coaches. And I guess this is kind of them putting their money where their mouth is. It's very easy to say that, but now they're buying into it.
Well, Kelvin Jones' climb sounds an awful lot like Wilfried Nancy's climb in the Montreal mm-hmm. system, because he started like U-10s, 12s or whatever, and just worked his way up to coach of the
And also,
oh, the first team.
I feel like it's something to mention, too. Now the Crew are the only organization who have two black head coaches at the first team and the next pro team levels.
Well, good on them. Okay, now to like the games and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, the soccer.
Yeah. Like
on Tuesday, the Crew will go in order here and go back to Tuesday. The Crew tied Houston 1-1 in the new Crew Stadium. That was the second leg of a two-legged aggregate goal series in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Crew goes through 2-1 on aggregate. So really, Matan's goal in Houston was the difference.
Yeah.
The Crew will face UNAL Tigres, who beat Orlando 4-2 on aggregate in the previous round. It's the quarterfinal round now. Miami and New England are also through to the quarterfinals. Miami will have Monterey, New England, Club America. And if the Crew can get past Tigres, now the first game is April 2nd at the lower.com field. The second game is April 9th, also a Tuesday, and that'll be in Monterey. Mm-hmm.
I know there was confusion on if they would be hosting the second leg or first leg, because she believes that lower.com, not the April 9th. But based off CONCACAF guidelines, Tigres had a two goal difference against right. Orlando, and the Crew had only one goal difference against Houston. So
they get the second leg.
Yes.
Okay. And if the Crew go through, they get the winner of Miami Monterey. So
they've never been further than the quarterfinals too. And they've actually, every time they've been in CONCACAF the tournament, it's always made it just to the quarterfinals.
Well, Mexico has the MX teams have had their way in mm-hmm. this particular competition, which has had, I don't know, seven different names since mm-hmm. it started, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. So that's it. I'll say again, leg one of the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinals. Crew home against Tigres at the LDC on April 2nd. And they're in Monterey against Tigres on the 9th. Both of them are Tuesday games. The other game last week, and they come apace now, don't they, Brianna, as there's almost too many. But the Crew on Saturday beat Chicago 2-1. Mo Farsi came off the bench to score the game winner in the dying seconds of second mm-hmm. half stoppage time. That had to feel good, I imagine, given how the Crew had given up a late stoppage time goal in Minnesota in their previous league game. What were they saying heading into the game, and what were they saying coming out?
Well, I know Colin had to be for a little while because I was in Minnesota, but he was talking, the big thing that he was focusing on, Colin Gay, one of our other reporters, was taking care of the beat during the Chicago game.
Yeah.
So he was talking to them, especially because before that game, it wasn't a Crew team that anyone was used to seeing. One goal was not something that
right.
a game.
Yeah, that was what we brought that up on our previous edition of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. So,
what should they worry? They're scoring one goal a game, which is somewhat cheeky, but
yeah.
But given the powerhouse offensive team this Crew team was last year, it was curious.
Yeah, and he Anansi said he wasn't worried because the opportunities were there, and they capitalized on two opportunities. I know Jason Russell Rowe too. He was someone who was getting a lot of opportunities and finally connected on one against Chicago, and then especially with Farsi coming off a little bit of a. Of an injury from the first game, sitting a few games, he coming out, especially late in the game in an area they're so congested and they're able, we saw it against Minnesota, they it kind of fatigue hit them. They gave up a late goal, and you kind of saw it even against Houston, their last game, a handball in the box led to a goal there. So, but the fact they were able to do something in the last minute, in the last closing final minutes till late in the game, almost 100 minutes. I think it was a positive thing for them to see.
90 plus 10 is what's on the official score sheet. Now against Houston Tuesday, they had, we just look at the way they're working the rotation and you can comment as we go along or after, but on Tuesday they had Cucho up top per usual. Jason Russell Rowe on the left, Ramirez on the right. Darlington Nagbe and Derek Jones getting a start at midfield in place of Aiden Morris. And, of course, Yeboah and Farsi at the wingbacks. And the back line, Yevhen Chibirko getting a start with Zawadzki in the middle of the back line. And Moreira on the right in his usual spot. And, you know, against Chicago, come back a few days later, Rossi was in for Russell Rowe. Hinostroza was in for Ramirez. Morris was back. Max Arfsten started at wing back. Malte Amundsen was back in his spot on the left side of the back three. And Rudy Camacho back in the middle and Zawadzki on the right. There's nowhere Zawadzki won't play, as you mentioned on dispatch.com. Please go to dispatch.com. Brianna's filling it up there.
Yeah, I was talking about this because I think it's interesting. We've seen that he can play what? How many positions?
I don't know. All of them.
Exactly. But he's really been trusted on the back line this season. Four of the five starts this season has been, well, I believe he started in at least three of his starts have been on the back line. He's played at every, he said he confirmed that he's played every position on the back line. And honestly, against Houston in the middle, it looked like he was taking control. It was not just him being able to play on the back line. He looked like a kind of a leader. He was slowing down the pace when they needed it. A big thing they've been talking about is looking far to see close, like looking for opportunities far by slowing down and everything too. So he looked like a leader out there. He looks a lot more comfortable. Nancy has said, you can read about it, that he trusts Sean a lot. There's a lot of trust there. Like, they don't even have to say anything. They just look at each other and Sean knows what to do.
Well, the other thing too is it's interesting if you look at the demeanor, on-field demeanor of certain players. You know, like Aiden Morris plays with fire and Nagbe plays with ice, and I think Zawadzki, like Cucho, plays with joy. And you can see he almost prances around out there. Good on him. He's a fine player, and I wonder when we'll start hearing rumors about him.
He got a little feisty, I felt like, on Houston too. There was a moment he was down. I've never seen, he looked the most upset I've ever seen him on the field. It looked like he had a little feisty moment I haven't seen out of him.
Well, what's next for the crew? They have the New York Red Bulls here tomorrow night, Saturday night at 7:30.
They seem excited about the matchup. They seem like this is a rivalry they care about. And also, they said they know they expect a different type of press from the Red Bulls than they've seen all season. I feel like they're mentally ready. I think it helps that now CONCACAF is kind of paused until the beginning of April.
Right.
So now they can just full focus on regular season. They seem excited about this matchup.
Well, if you remember back to last year, they new regime, no one really knew what was up other than this Wilfried Nancy guy was kind of interesting. Their first game was on the road in Philadelphia, and you know, they felt good about the way they played, but they lost 4-1. And then their next test was the fourth game of the season against the Red Bulls in Harrison, New Jersey. And they felt good about their 2-1 game there. And they knew that they had to prep for that wicked Red Bull press. So a little echo of, it'll be interesting to look at them now in game four against the Red Bulls mm-hmm. this year versus versus last year.
Yeah, I think also it gets interesting because he played a lot more games with CONCACAF.
That's what I mean. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the system's in. Mm-hmm. They're warmed up. Let's see what their A-team does against the Red Bulls, Vonderpress. Yeah. Do we have any idea on what the lineup will look like tomorrow?
I say one thing I wanted to say. I'm based off what I was I asked Nancy about the goalie rotation because it's interesting. You have Evan Bush and you have Nicholas Hagan on the bench too, but it sounds like Nancy's going full in on Schulte. It's pretty safe to say what he was saying to me yesterday, that he wants to challenge Patrick and keep him in there and have him playing. They thought about a rotation, but this is more of a challenge to Patrick. So it sounds like we definitely should see Patrick starting in the goal.
Okay. Quick look at the standings before we depart. Miami, Montreal, Crew, the Red Bulls and Toronto, 7 points apiece. Technically, Miami's in first place, 2-1-1 on diff. There's some percentage tiebreaker there. So the Crew 2-0-1, 4-2 against +2, and they're right there at the top of the ladder. Even though I don't know if we've seen their A game yet. Mm-mm. What are they saying about that? It's a process.
Yeah, a big thing is I've heard is they don't feel like they're 100% when it comes to fitness as well, because I know they've been kind of leaning on the fact they had a short off season compared to everyone else, but it's kind of the price of winning.
Also, they have a lot more parts moving in and out of the lineup, mm-hmm. given the way the games have come apace.
I think it's really interesting the amount of forwards they have too, because especially moving Hinostroza to a forward. I don't think he maybe you can slot him in midfield at some points, but I really feel like Nancy is full in on making him a forward.
Well, there you have it. So that's it for the latest edition of the Soccer Speakeasy for Brianna McKay. Please go to dispatch.com and check out all of her fine work. I'm Mike Arias, and of course, at the controls, per usual, Patrick the Podfather Flaherty. Kyle Robertson, the striker, could not join us this week. He's on assignment, and judging by his text, he's apparently on assignment at Jackie O's in Athens, Ohio. So anyway,
it's part of our rotation. We had a congested schedule like the Crew. You know, sometimes you got to sit our striker.
Are you sticking up for Kyle here?
Just explaining it.
He's not a carper in your eyes. Maybe he'll surface again next week. And if so, you can hear him here on the Soccer Speakeasy. Patrick, kick us out of here. Thank you.